Good morning and a warm welcome this morning. This morning we're looking at the passage in Luke 18, verses 18 to 30. Jesus meets a rich young ruler. And I've asked Pauline if she would do the reading for us. So here's Pauline.
Good morning. The reading today is taken from Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 30. And it's where Jesus meets a rich young ruler. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honour your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life."
And this was a godly, privileged young man. He calls him a young ruler. So, I mean, he's got his wealth quite early in life. So perhaps he inherited it, and it's part of his family's life. But, you know, let's imagine for a minute, he probably got up that morning and woke, and there would have been someone who came and had all clean clothes for them. Before that, they would bath him and bathe him and anoint him with oil and lovely smelling things and maybe a massage. And then beautifully pristine, clean, white clothes would be brought, and he would be dressed and get ready. He'd go out of his room, and there on the veranda or whatever would be all breakfast laid out, lovely food, delicious stuff for him, drinks, people serving it and bringing. You know, there's no washing up, none of that for him. He had everything brought to him and he was looked after. And then he hears that Jesus is around. Whether he went looking for him or came across him in his travels, we don't know. But he came to Jesus, and there was something missing in his heart. He was doing the right things, but he knew there was something more. And perhaps he just felt good about himself and he wanted to check he was doing everything right. I don't know. He came to Jesus and said, you know, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Well, you know the law, you know, keep all those things." He says, "But I've done that all my life. I've done all the right things." And yeah, it's wonderful. In fact, it says in Mark 10:21, it says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And he uttered those words, "I've kept these things since I was a boy." He genuinely wanted to do what was right. He genuinely wanted to please God. But when he gets his answer, he is smitten. He cannot imagine giving up all the things that he enjoyed, all the luxuries and simple things in life and simple pleasures, the security that money would have given him, the recognition, the freedom to do whatever he wanted. He'd be giving up those things, and he couldn't. You know, we can be captured by things. We can be held back by things that we're attached to. Actually, we think we're free, but we're not. We're held back by things. It wasn't wrong to be wealthy. Joseph of Arimathea was wealthy, and others who supported Jesus's ministry, Joanna, Susanna, they supported 12-man ministry out of their wealth, out of their income. So wealth wasn't a bad thing as such, but they weren't captured by it. They were giving it and using it in the kingdom. You see, it's about where our heart is. It's all about our heart. This young man, trapped by his wealth, loved his lifestyle. Money and possessions can take our heart so easily. Jesus warns us, he says, don't store up treasure on earth. Store it in heaven. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Matthew 6 and Luke 12. See, our heart so easily gets tangled up in stuff. So many things that we want. Jesus' heart was taken with money. He used to steal from the purse. He got annoyed with others when expensive ointment was put on Jesus' feet. And for 500 pounds of silver, 500 pounds value today in silver, he betrayed Jesus. In the pursuit of wealth, there are all kinds of problems. God wants us to be free of being possessed by money and those things. I learned when I was a young Christian, I seen this lovely blue Gabici jumper, and it was like a light blue and had a dark blue trimming in suede. And it was really nice, and I loved it. And I saw it as I went past the shop, I thought, that's really nice. And another time I went past the shop, it was there, and I thought, I really do like that jumper. And I looked at the price tag, I thought, oh, that's a lot of money. But you know, the next time I went shopping, I just went and looked in that shop, and I thought, I'm going to buy this jumper. And I went in and I bought the jumper and I went back. And then my heart was really smitten about it. God just really challenged my heart about this jumper. And I thought, what's wrong? Why? And I wasn't comfortable about having this expensive jumper. God slowly showed me it wasn't the jumper that was the problem. It was how to grab my heart. I didn't need that jumper. I just wanted that jumper. And the more I looked at it, the more I wanted it. But I was using a lot of money. For what purpose? God challenged me. It wasn't just about the money. It was about my heart. I wanted it. It took my heart and held on to my heart. And that became more important to me than God himself. And God taught me he wants me to be free of things, be able to enjoy something, but not be held by it, not to be so tied up with it in that way. We're warned in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You see, we tend to buy things that we can't afford. When we're besotted by these things and possessions and things we want, suddenly whether we can afford it becomes a lesser thing. Well, you know, I can get it on my credit card. I can get it from here or there. And people buy things they can't afford. I'm often shocked how many wealthy people, celebrities, business people I know, have gotten themselves into huge financial difficulties, sometimes lost millions and even billions. Go and have a look on the web and put, you know, millionaires who lost their money. Because they're buying things and borrowing when they can't afford it. And our society is riddled with it. You know, for I deserve better. I should have a better car. I should have a better house. And there's a disease of always looking for and wanting the next thing. And we can get caught up in our culture of wanting the next thing. Our economy and advertising are all based on it, all trying to make us want the next thing. And borrowing is encouraged. Do you know why? It is so profitable to lend. If I can get you to take £100, you're going to pay me £25 a year for it, for doing nothing. 25%, 30% is typical on credit cards. Yeah, you know, people come to me and, you know, they bought this and bought that, and then they couldn't meet ends, so they borrowed a bit more. And, you know, by the time they come to me, they've got £500 a month going out on paying for a credit card. You know, and it only takes £10,000 on a credit card and repaying it over 3 years at 29%. And that's £500 a month going out of the budget. And then you can't afford the mortgage and all the other things. It's so easy to get into trouble. And God doesn't want us to be in those situations. He wants us to learn to manage ourselves and our desires and wants so that we're not owned by those, but so that we can choose what actually is right and appropriate and let go of those other things that we don't actually need that will cause us to go into debt or difficulty. And there's another dimension to this. God teaches in Scripture that he gives us an abundance, not just what we need, but a bit more than we need. What do we do with that abundance? This isn't a talk on giving, but it's an important part of understanding wealth. See, we can get focused on things and that money, and then we stop thinking about other people's needs. We just look at our needs. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says this, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich on every occasion so that you can be generous on every occasion. My question is this, what do we do with that abundance? Because in our material world, we tend to spend it. Oh, I can't afford this, I can't afford that. But we spend everything. And yet God says, if we live moderately, if we live appropriately, if we live around what we need, then he gives more than we actually need so that we can give to others who are in need. The poor and those in poverty, those who are hungry around the world, they go hungry because everyone else is spending every penny they've got and has no thought for them. And we can so easily give that abundance. We'll spend that abundance that God wants us to give to others. I don't know if any of you have watched the race across South America, race across the world, they call it, where there are five teams, five couples or pairs of people who are trying to travel for the same cost of an air flight, travel along the ground all the way across South America. And it's a fascinating program. But as they go through South America, three of those countries has got rioting going on and they have to pull them out and take them through another route because that country is in riot. All three countries have the space of this month of travel and all of it about poverty. How can there be so much poverty? They are oil-rich countries. There is an abundance of money at the top, but it's being siphoned off by the wealthy, siphoned off by the leadership, such that there is nothing left to go down the chain. You know, Nigeria has an abundance in oil. You come to the oil delta, all the oil is going through there. It's such a wealthy area. And yet there is nothing for the poor. The average lifespan in that Nigerian delta is 40 years. What I'm saying is greed knows no bounds. Greed will take people and they will keep taking and taking. And our world is destroyed by it. There is no fair sharing. We can get caught up into that if we're not careful, just by all of the things that we want, because we're focused on things that we want rather than what we need. So how do we get free? Well, the first thing is to take our eyes off the things and the money and focus on the kingdom. You know, it doesn't work just by saying, I'm not going to think about it. Like someone said, you know, don't think of number seven. We immediately think of number seven. But someone says, think about number six, then you forget number seven and you're thinking about number six. In the same way, we need to take our eyes off the next thing we can buy and all the adverts and magazines and advertisements and focus on the kingdom, on the things that God is calling us to do, on the things which we can do that help and build the lives of others, that build our own family, spending time with our wives and children and so on, investing in those other things. And forget those extra hours to earn more, that promotion that will give us more money and solve our financial problems. Be willing to leave those things for him and gain our reward in heaven. You know, I see a lot of people pursuing extra money to try and solve their problem. Nearly all occasions where I sit down and work through it with people, I show them it's their spending that is the problem. It's not how much they're earning, it's about how they're spending. And having a family budget and sorting those things is where it all begins, and it all comes right. I've seen people's financial lives transformed, one couple after another, simply by taking control of that spending. That's not what the talk is about now. Our focus needs to be on his kingdom, how he wants to use us in it. Matthew 6:31 says, so don't worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Unbelievers run after all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's focus on the kingdom. And these things shall be yours as well. It's not that food and drink don't matter, but they shouldn't be our focus. The second thing is to develop a generous heart, to start using our money to bless others, and to develop a trusting heart, trusting and asking God to give us what we need in order to be a blessing to others. There are two examples of people who've got it right that I've noticed recently in my Bible reading. The first is a lovely one. You've got all these wealthy people giving in the temple, and they kind of put their coins in and they rattle down this metal, like a trumpet, so it rattles when they put it in. And as Jesus is sitting there with the disciples, he hears this tiny little tinkle, tinkle, two tiny little coins. And he looks and there's a widow, and he gathers the disciples and he says this: a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. This woman trusted God. She gave away the tiny little bit. She gave everything she got. Very few of us have ever given everything we've got. She gave everything she got, trusting God for her next meal. And Jesus points her out to all the disciples. There is a testimony from a week ago. We helped with a project called Tender Heart, and it supports pastors and others in a very poor area of India. I had this lovely testimony. My name is Pastor Jadagadish. This morning, I collected all the coins that my children, wife, and I had so that I can go and buy groceries. It came to about 50 rupees, which is not sufficient. Not even for one meal. I went into the room at 11:30, and I am praying in tears and asking the Lord if he really cares about me and my family. While I was praying, after a little while, Pastor Nagesh called me and told that, please come immediately and collect your grocery set from Tender Heart. I was overjoyed and thanking the Lord. I am a living testimony that the Lord knows us and our need. Praise be to God. Here is a man who is a pastor in complete poverty, giving everything he's got to those around him, supporting and helping them. And he finds he has nothing, but he trusts God to provide. He goes into that room and prays that for a couple of hours. And then God answers. See, life is not about wealth. It's about seeking God. It's about trusting him and seeing him work. You know, I think we can see that more easily without wealth than with it. Wealth can blind us. We don't have to trust God in the same way, because we can, like that, the young man that we're looking at, he got everything he needed. He didn't have to trust God. Pastor Jagadish, he had to trust God. The widow, she had to trust God. So our attitude should be living in tents as we pass through. We should be living in a way that's, we're not part of this world, we're going to be here forever. We are moving on, we're moving through. Philippians, Paul says it like this in Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You see, Paul was focused on the kingdom, Money he could take or leave. It had no hold on him. But he had learnt to trust God for everything. Finally, verses 29 and 30 in this passage, Jesus says, you will not lose out. And he tells us that we'll not only win in this life, we will also win in the next. We will double our investment. And I love these last verses, these last words of Jesus. Those who heard him said, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Peter said to him, we've left all we had to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. A double reward, receiving in this life and also in the life to come. You see, we cannot outgive God. Let our focus be on his kingdom. Let us give ourselves to it. Let's give ourselves wholly to the kingdom of God, be focused on his kingdom, and not be captured by the wealth of this world or its many, many distractions. Let's learn how to manage our lives appropriately. We may need help to get control of our debt, to get a family budget. Speak to us as elders or to myself if you want to know more about how to do that. But let us focus on the things of God and not be distracted by the world around us. Then we can enjoy reward in this life and the reward in the life to come. Let's just close the word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you that you want to bless us in this life. You want us to enjoy good things. You want us to enjoy a sense of purpose. You want us to enjoy fellowship with you. You want us to be able to live free, not encumbered by debt or pursuing wrong things or sin or anything else. Father, you want us to free us from those things so we can enjoy you and those around us and your work. Father, thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this calling. And I pray you'd help us to get away from the distractions of this world and to focus upon you and what you're doing, what you would have us do. Father, we might enjoy the blessing of walking with you in your purposes. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for the example that we've read about. Father, just bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.